Thanks for checking out the podcast of the Church at Lake Travis. If you have any questions about our church, visit us online at churchlt.com.
Well, welcome to the Church at Lake Travis. Lee's already mentioned that we're glad that you're here. If you're visiting with us today, my name's Jeremy. I'm the lead pastor here at the Church of Lake Travis, and that just means that I hopefully am the chief servant among all the other servants that are here. In fact, we have some incredible servant-hearted leaders that really make this church happen. In fact, if you served yesterday at Springfest, I want to invite you to stand to your feet right where you are, because it took about 50 people to make it happen. So let's Yeah, look at all these folks. Awesome job. Thank you all so much. You may be seated. Thank you for serving and sharing the love of Christ with this community. That is the heartbeat of our church, that we want to be the hands and feet of Christ. Our vision is really to connect every man, woman, and child in the Lake Travis community with Jesus and his church. And so if you're visiting today, know that's our heart and know that's what our desire is. If you find that you don't really connect with our church, we want to help you connect with another church that might be more your style. In fact, we love all the local churches here in the community, and we're connected through different pastor groups and everything, so we kind of get a feel for all the different groups. And if you want to know more about that, we can talk about it. If you'll come next week to Next Steps right after service on that Sunday, then I'd love to share more about our church with you. So today we begin a brand new series called God Is. And why are we doing a series on God? Like, isn't the church always about God? And isn't the Bible always about God? And isn't this the place where we talk about God? And like, most of you aren't showing up here on a Sunday expecting that you're going to hear anything but something about God. Am I right? Yeah? Okay. Just making sure. But I thought that it's important to lay out the why behind the what, because it is very important for us to be motivated by our why. And so the reason why, we've got three reasons why we're doing this series called God Is. And it's one, because we all have a God-shaped hole in our hearts. We all have a God-shaped hole in our hearts. I know for me, whenever I was younger, I tried to fill that hole with all kinds of things. I tried to fill that hole with relationships, and I dated girl after girl after girl after girl. And then I moved on, and I was like, well, that doesn't satisfy, so I'm gonna try to fill that hole with alcohol. And so I became an alcoholic as a teenager, just drinking and drinking and drinking. And that didn't fill the hole, and so then I tried other risky behavior and continued down that path, and I just found the only thing that can fill a God-shaped hole is, well, God. And so here we are looking at who God is, because we all have a God-shaped hole in us. In one New Testament letter, the Apostle Paul wrote that there were believers who knew God but did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. And he says that people who don't believe in God have actually exchanged the truth of God for a lie. One verse in the Bible actually says that some people go as far as to deny this inner sense that God is. They deny that there's a God-shaped hole. In Psalm 14, verse 1, it says this: the fool says in his heart, there is no God. There is no God. So the first reason that we talk about this series and for the remainder of the summer, we're going to just camp out here, and we're going to look at who God is in the story of Scripture. Because if we ever start to think that we're the subject of the Scripture, then we're looking at the Scripture all wrong. We're going to look at who God is in light of the story of Scripture, and we'll get to see that this is God's story, not our story. We'll see our story in the midst of it, but we'll see more and more about God, and we'll see that God-shaped hole filled in our life. I want to take you really on a journey over these next 14 weeks where we dig into who is God. Another reason we're doing this series is because we all have God's in our life. Ooh, that's God's little g. We all have gods in our life. The Bible tells us that the human heart is a God factory. We're churning them out again and again, where we're trying to take good things and turn them into ultimate things, where we elevate them to a place they were never intended to be. God's food can be a god. Come on, Bluebell ice cream. I mean, food can be a god. Exercise can be a god. Our bodies can be a god. Music can be a god. I gotta have my music, man. I gotta have my music. Like, sometimes we elevate things that are good to a level of God. Success, true love, the life you always wanted, sex, money, power. All of these things, many of us have placed our faith in these things, believing they're the key to happiness, but with a sneaking suspicion that they're falling short. There is only one God who can satisfy all of our cravings. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 2, in the Ten Commandments, God says this. He says, "I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other little g gods before me." Why does he say that? Because he knows that our hearts are prone to follow little g's. And we need to have a bigger view of God. Now, maybe the most practical reason we're doing this series is because we all have a view of God that may or may not be true. May or may not be true. Like, you might have a particular view of God that you say, this is my view of God, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it is true. I love how honest kids are. In a recent book, How Children See God, the author asked kids to answer the question, what does God look like? Jackson, age 7, love it. He says, "I call God when I need help with things, but not my homework, because my mom says I have to do that myself." Blair, age 10, said she imagined God's house way back behind the big pearly gate. Gabby, age 9, says God has giant ears because he hears everything we're saying. One kindergarten teacher was observing her classroom while her children drew pictures, and occasionally she would walk around the classroom, and she stopped at one little girl and she said, "Sweetheart, what are you drawing?" And the little girl looked up at her teacher and she said, "I'm drawing a picture of God." And the teacher said, "Well, sweetheart, we don't really know what God looks like." And the little girl looked back at her and she said, "They will when I'm finished." God, the subject of God is very, very important. Oftentimes, we listen to what the culture says around us, and it's not always accurate depicting who he is. Just several months ago, we as a staff got together and we were at our retreat. And we do an annual retreat together and we pray together. And we say, "God, what do you want to say to our church this year? What do you want to say to our community this year?" And as we prayed through that, one of the themes that came up was that we had heard people in house church or man church or Bible study or the different venues that we have and different things that ministries we have. We heard them say things about God that were not in line with Scripture. And we thought, wow, wouldn't it be important on our behalf to be able to speak about the truths of who God is? We often hear people say, "Well, the God I know would never do that," or my God is a God of love. And they leave out the God of justice. They would say things like, "Oh, my God is a God who is a God of peace." And we find through Scripture there are often things that are countercultural, but they're true about God. And here's the important thing that I feel as a pastor is I have a responsibility to communicate with you, because I think that our culture is not a lot different than the New Testament culture, which the New Testament was full of its own challenges, and they had pictures of God that they held that weren't true as well. In fact, the Apostle Paul writes to one pastor in the New Testament church named Titus. Paul was an overseer of Titus, and Paul says to Titus, who was a pastor, he wrote him a letter giving him instructions on how to lead in a culture that said that God was okay with us doing whatever we wanted and living however we wanted. In Titus chapter 1, verse 16, it says they. When he's talking about they, he's talking about some people in the church, they, or maybe even leaders in the church, they claim to know God, but by their actions, they deny him. These are strong words, detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. And then he gives this word of instruction to Titus as a pastor. He says, you, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. Now, we have a high view of God's word. We have a high view of God's word. And here's what a high view of God's word does. A high view of God's word leads to a high view of God. And we have a high view of God. In the moment that we start to think that we can have a different view than what the scripture says is the moment that God becomes much smaller in our own minds than he ever intended to be. Another way of saying sound doctrine is healthy teaching. A lot of times people are like, got to have sound doctrine. And what they mean is they want to be right. And scripture is a lot more about what brings life. And what brings hope? And what brings joy? In fact, the whole of Scripture is all about how people can be in a life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ. So healthy teaching. Teaching that leads people to Christ. Teaching that helps us know God better. Now, that's what this God Is message is all about. It's about that God is knowable. That God is knowable. I mean, if we're going to start talking about God, we kind of have to begin with the fact, one, that he exists, and two, that you can know him, that God is knowable. When I think about that, I think it's important to say that we can never fully understand God, like never, okay, because we're finite. We're human, and in our humanity, it's pretty difficult to comprehend God. But God is God. In fact, another way of saying it is God is incomprehensible. God is in, like, we can't wrap our brain around it because God is God. Psalm 145 verse 3 says it this way, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness, and I love this last phrase, no one can fathom. Not Bill Gates, not Einstein, no one, not the most incredibly genius person on the planet can fathom the goodness of God. In the ESV version, it says this, his greatness is unsearchable. Search and search and search all you want, and he is still unsearchable. We can never know too much about God. We'll never run out of things to discover about him. We'll never get tired of delighting in him and all that he shows us about himself. And while we can never fully understand him, we can, in fact, know him. We can know him personally. I can know God. You can know God. We can know God. One famous philosopher named Karl Barth said that God is wholly other, that he is transcendent. And I put this on Facebook yesterday, that there are some great paradoxes with God, that he is transcendent, he is otherworldly, that he is God, there's no one like him, there's never been anyone like him over here, and yet he is imminent. He's coming close. In any moment, he is with us. This is a paradox. That God is cosmic, that he's otherworldly, and yet he is close to people, to humanity who are not holy and not just and not loving all the time and not righteous. God is completely separate. This is why we can't say things like, Jesus is my homeboy. Like, we can't get that comfortable and that familiar with God. You know the kind of familiarity that breeds contempt? We don't need to have that kind of familiarity with God. We can know Him, but He's still God. And we need to hold Him in a high place. To say I can know God means that I can know that God is knowable. God is knowable. The truth is, the better we know God, the bigger God will be in our life. The better we know God, the bigger He'll be in our life. One of my favorite prayers that I pray for you as a church and for myself on a regular basis over and over again, it comes from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. I've been praying it since I was about 20 years old. Maybe you can incorporate this into your prayer time on a regular basis. And it says this, the Apostle Paul is praying for the church in Ephesus, and he says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, I love he has this high view of God. He says, I keep asking that the God of our glorious Father may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Why? So that you may know Him better. God, I pray for the church at Lake Travis that we would know You better. I pray, God, that You would help us have a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know You better. Maybe that's just a prayer that you can incorporate into your own life. And maybe you're saying, Jeremy, can we really know God? I mean, if He's God, can we really know Him? And the answer is yes. We know God through the Bible. Without the Bible, our efforts to know God will come up short. Or worse, we will exchange the truth of God for a lie. If we depend on knowing what God says by listening to Drake or Oprah or Deepak Chopra, we're going to come up short. We're going to miss out on the beauty and the majesty of who God is. True thoughts about God are important in knowing Him. Now, let me just say this. True thoughts are important when it comes to knowing God. Even though we can't know God exhaustively, He is incomprehensible, we can know true things about God, and everything the Scripture tells us about God is true. Every bit. Now you may be asking, wait a minute, Jeremy, isn't it true to say that God is love? Yes. Isn't it true to say that God is light? Yes. Isn't it true to say that God is spirit? Yes. And isn't it true to say that God is just or righteous? Yes. And to say this does not imply that we know everything about God. That's such an arrogant position to be in, that we can somehow know everything there is to know about God. I have 5 children. And when I say I have 5 kids, that statement is entirely true. One of my kids is Blake. And Blake is, he is one of the most compassionate, kind-hearted, servant leaders. He's humble and yet confident. He's bold. He's so sweet-hearted. And when I think about sweet-hearted, I just mean that he's compassionate. He's so much so that his third grade teacher, she emailed us at the end of the year and she said, I just love Blake. He is such a kind-hearted kid. I think he'll probably be the leader of the Peace Corps one day. What she didn't know is that light in Blake is the light of Christ, and that's what's exuding out of him. Now, Blake is an athlete. He works hard. He's the hardest working kid we have out of all 5 of our kids. And I'm bragging on Blake right now because he says that I don't talk about him enough in my message. So I'm doing that right now. So you can never say that again. But I'm bragging on him to say that all of those things are true about Blake. And as well as I know him, as well as I develop knowing him on a relational level all the time, as much as I study his behavior, I don't really fully know him. Like, there's still more to him. I don't even know everything there is to know about myself. And so it is with God. I know true things about God from Scripture, even though I don't know everything about God. And while all truth is God's truth, everything true we believe about God must be confirmed in this book. And I really hope through this series we can know God better. Because the better we know God, the bigger He will be in our lives. To know God, let me say it this way, to know God better is to know Him as bigger. Because here's the reality, God isn't changing. Like, He doesn't become big when we decide to know Him better. He is big, and we simply know Him as bigger if we know Him better. One of the ways that I like to demonstrate this is, you see this basketball over here, and when you see that basketball, it looks pretty small, but let's call that basketball. We're not being disrespectful to God. We're using this as an analogy. The basketball is God, okay? So get that in your mind. Sitting at a distance, far away from the basketball, it appears quite small. Like, and the further away you are from the basketball, the smaller that it appears. Has the size of the basketball changed? No, it hasn't changed at all. So the closer I get to the basketball, to the closer I get to God, the bigger that it appears in my sphere, my perspective. Now, let me just demonstrate it this way, because a basketball is probably not even close to a worthy demonstration of God in all of His glory and majesty. But let's say that we are right here, that close to God. How big does that one little pin mark, how big does God seem in that moment? It seems massive. It seems marvelous. It seems majestic. And when we sit here on just this one little inkling, one little dot of God, when we're so close, then we see that there's so much more of God that we can never possibly know, we can never possibly comprehend, we can never possibly understand, and yet we're close to Him. And that's the kind of knowing that I want us to experience. I love that we can personally get close to God and we can know Him. I love that. And I think that for all of us, we have to have a humble, we'll call it a humble orthodoxy when it comes to God. That we say, wow, God, You are amazing. And we never ever stake a claim on what we know about God. We never ever take a position that we feel like we have it all figured out about God. But that we take a humble posture before an amazing God. That would be my heart for us. I think that it's interesting when we think about God, because some people believe that, let's see if I can set that back down. Some people believe that God created the planet, spun it into motion, set the universe right, and then took His hands off. That He was distant. But that's not the picture of the Scripture. The picture of Scripture is God created everything, and He's been personally, intricately involved the entire time. Some people say we cannot know God Himself, but that we can only know facts about Him. But I love that we have a personal God that we can relate to, and we can know Him. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 says this way, "Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom." Let's not think that we're smarter than we really are. Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. We just finished a series called Be Rich. and it resonated with so many of you. You just said, oh man, this series is so good. And we just felt like, you know what, we're gonna come back to that idea in the fall. But here it is in Scripture again saying, don't boast in riches. Don't let riches become your God. Let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boast in this, and you can underline it if you have your Bible, that he understands and knows me. That you can know God personally. That I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. Here's what God says. He says, the source of our joy is Him. The source of our importance or our sense of importance don't come from our own abilities or possessions, but they come from the fact that we know God. And that ought to be very freeing for some of you here today. That you just can sense that God wants a personal relationship with you. Regardless of where you're coming from, regardless of where you've been, God wants a personal relationship with you. You can know Him personally. All right, that's kind of the foundation for this series, the bedrock. And for every message in this series, that was kind of the what and the why. And then we're going to have a so what section, okay? Because I think that's probably all what you are asking every Sunday when you come to church. Like, so what? What difference does this make in my life anyway? Here's the so what and the how to of this message. Number one is that we, because He is knowable, we can speak to God in prayer. We can speak to Him in prayer. You can have a conversation with God. You can talk to Him. And I love this. God, it's not a one-way conversation because God speaks to us through the Bible. So you can have a conversation with God. You can talk to Him and He talks to you through the Scripture, through the power of the Holy Spirit. I think like any relationship, if we're talking about God being knowable, communication is critical. We speak to Him, He speaks to us. Whenever I was, when I first came to know Christ, when I was 18 years old, I had a job and it was about a 20-minute commute away from my house. And I'd have to get up at 5 and then be heading to work by 5:30 so that I could be there by 6. And I would get in my truck and I'd go on the road and I was driving down Interstate 10. And I learned this practice and I just put my, I had a truck and had just a bench seat and I'd put my arm over the bench seat and I'd look over as if God were sitting right there and I would have a conversation with God. And that was so important. And I would just say, hey God, good morning. I pray you'd help me with my day. I pray that you would help me love people the way that you've loved me. And I would just have that conversation with God. And that is what taught me how to pray. Look at God as you're having a conversation. Here's what Jeremiah 29:13 says. You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. God wants all of your heart. And He wants you to seek Him with all your heart. Number two is we can not only talk to God in prayer, but we can worship God in singing. When we really know God, here's my presupposition, we can't help but sing. It doesn't matter how good you can sing, because singing is part of the people of God's history for centuries. The people of God are a people of song. John Piper wrote an article this week, and he said this, the Bible says that the aim of our singing is to raise sounds of joy. No one in the universe has more joy than God. He is infinitely joyful. He is rejoiced from eternity in the panorama of His own perfections reflected perfectly in Jesus. This is the people of God singing. One of the most powerful practices that I've had in my own life in knowing God is something I don't even know what it's called. I just call it free singing. And that's where there is no song. Like, we just sang, "Holy Spirit, you're welcome here." We sang that, had lyrics. But this song, the free singing, is just a song that wells up in my soul, where I start to think about who God is. And I just say, "I love you, Lord. I praise you. You're amazing, God. There's no one like you." And I sing to God, I free sing, and I believe that's been a key in helping me get to know God better. I love what the book of Psalms says over and over again, but Psalm 96 says it this way: "Sing to the Lord a new song." Don't bring some stale song. Sing a new song to Him. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Praise His name. Proclaim His salvation day after day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among all peoples. For what we said today, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise, for He is to be feared above all gods. Sing to Him. Make that a practice that you'll sing to God. Here's the third way. We can spend time with God in His presence. How do we get to know God? We spend time in His presence. Knowing God isn't simply intellectual. It's experiential too. I love that. This morning, Chase and I hadn't even talked about this whole idea of what he said earlier, but I love how the Holy Spirit begins to work through people and sync them up, because the Holy Spirit is unifying the body of Christ all the time. And Chase basically said that same thing. It's not simply an exercise of the mind, but it's also an experience of the emotions. God wants all, when He says He wants all of your heart, that means He wants everything about you. He doesn't simply want a piece of your life. God wants us to know He is bigger. This series is designed to help you know God better. And I believe, if we're to be honest, we're all magnets towards the presence of God. We want to be in the presence of God. But sometimes, I believe, we don't always know how to do that. I think it's interesting, in 1 Samuel chapter 3, Samuel has been devoted as a ward, basically, to the church and to the temple. Hannah, Samuel's mom, had kind of said, "Hey, I'm going to give my son to the church." And so he did that, or she did that. Samuel's growing up as a young man, and he starts to hear something. And he hears it the first time, and he goes to Eli, the priest, and he says, "Hey, da-da-da-da-da. What'd you need?" And Eli's like, go back to bed. That wasn't me." And then the second time it happens, and Eli's like, "Go back to bed." And then we see it in verse 7. Now, I love this phrase because I think it's critical to our study on God and how He is knowable. Verse 7, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord." Sometimes God's presence is trying to invade your life, but you don't yet know God. And you miss it. And you think it's something else. You think it's other voices speaking to you, when it's really God speaking to you. And here's what it says. "And so Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And a third time the Lord called, 'Samuel!' And Samuel got up and he went to Eli and he said, 'Here I am. You called me. It's a third time. Why do you keep calling me?' Then Eli realized, oh, the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, 'Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.' So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood there, calling as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' Then Samuel said, 'Speak, your servant is listening.'" As the band comes, I think that there is no more powerful phrase than for you and I to have that kind of posture before God, to say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And that invites the presence of God into our lives in a way that we may have never experienced Him before. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. I think that that will lead us to know God better. The better we know God, the bigger God will be in our lives. And to know God is better is to know He is bigger. It's not a resource issue. God has everything. He is big. It's a proximity issue. We need to get close to Him. I need to know God is bigger in my own life. I need to know Him better. Deep down, I think we all desire to know God better so He'll be bigger in our lives. And the good news is God's Word tells us we can know Him. We can know Him. So talk to Him in prayer. Sing to Him in worship. Get into His presence and sit and soak in His presence. And how amazing will it be if we can all say that we know God at a deeper level as a result of spending time in His presence. And here's what I believe. I believe we'll see that God is bigger than any bank account. We'll see that God is bigger than any marriage problem that we might be having. We'll see God is bigger than any bad grade that we got. We'll see that God is bigger than any breakup we've had. We'll see that God is bigger than any challenge that we might face in our life. And I can't help but think that our marriages will be better if we'll see God as bigger than anyone's ego in the marriage. I can't help but think that our finances will be better when we see God as bigger than the paycheck. That our businesses will be better when we see God as bigger than any client or account that we might be trying to get. We often hear that. We think, oh, I'm going after that whale customer. Well, guess what? God is bigger than the whale. And you can trust Him to help you in that process. I believe that our church will be better because we know God better. And we will see Him as bigger. And it will only help us to see every man, woman, and child in the Lake Travis community come to experience Jesus and His church. It can happen because the better we know God, the bigger He'll be in our lives, in our families, in every other realm. Next week, I'm going to be talking about one of the greatest mysteries of God, and I want to invite you to be here. I know that spring gets busy and summer can get even busier, but I want to invite you to be here. And if you can't, then tune in on iTunes or on our website and just stay connected through these summer months, because I think if you will, you'll know God better and He'll be bigger in your life as a result. Now, you may be here today and you say, Jeremy, I'm just checking out this whole church thing and I don't really know God personally, but I want to. Here's what I would say is that the scripture that we just talked about teaches that you can know Him, and knowing Him comes through a relationship with His Son, Jesus. Jesus Christ died on a cross to pay the penalty of our sin that separated us from a holy God. We were unholy. He was holy. Jesus made a bridge so that we could be connected to God and we could have a relationship with Him. And here's what John chapter 1:12 says, as many as received Him, speaking about Jesus, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name. So receiving Christ involves turning from yourself and your ways. That's repentance and turning to God. And I invite you, if you're here today and you need to take that step of faith, to simply pray a prayer of faith that you would say, God, I'm turning from my own way and I'm turning to your way. And I'm putting my faith and trust in Jesus Christ because I want to walk and I want to be close to you. I want to know you better. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer as we get ready to receive communion? We all are called to evaluate our own hearts. So right there where you are, would you just say, God, if there's anything, any sin in my life that would keep me from having a relationship with you, would you remove that? And God, ultimately, I want to know you better. May this time of receiving communion and worshiping and singing and prayer, may this all help me know you better.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. Our mission is to lead people into a life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ, and our prayer is that you are closer to Jesus as a result of listening today.